Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I have a true queen, an icon, and a legend on the show today. We have Lisa Ann Walter. Of course, we know you from movies like The Parent Trap. You're starring in Abbott Elementary, which I believe is the best show on TV right now. I'm obsessed with it. I think it's so good. I have so many things that I want to talk to you about. But first of all, how are you doing today, Lisa?
Doing so great. I'm so happy to be here talking to you, Danny. I love looking at all of your stuff online. I love following what you're into. It usually is the same stuff I'm into. So the fact that you're like, I'm obsessed with Abbott and your stuff. I'm like, oh my God, I am deeply complimented. Thank you.
You know, I feel like my generation, we grew up with you, of course, as Chessie on The Parent Trap, but then there are so many other roles, and I want to start. I'm just going to start with your first feature film role, which is an underrated movie to me. It's the movie Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. And I'm like, you said that, and I went, oh yeah, of course. I know what it was.
And I'm so curious, that was your first feature film role, right?
It was, and it was sort of bizarre in that, I had a big career as a stand-up, which a lot of people don't even know. It was a pretty big career that I had, traveling all over the country and headlining. So when I got offered, now this is back in the day, now people are used to female comics. So they're like, you know, you go to a comedy club, and I'm back to doing stand-up now, and I'll go in and I walk in kind of giving them, and I'm like, hi, the girl comic is here, because it's still one woman and there'll be five guys. But back then there were like 25 female comics in the country. And so it was a great time for me to get that voice out there, the comedic voice of being, my act was all about the balancing act, that juggling that women do when they're working moms, you know, raise a family, find a cure for cancer, have a flat stomach. Who the F can do it all?
Too much.
And that's why we're entering bitches. It's not our period. All the time. So that was kind of the voice of the show. And I got offered to star in TV shows. So I came out to LA already with an offer to like, okay, what show do you want to do on Fox? So then when I got out here, the second show was with ABC, which was a show called Life's Work. And while we were gearing that up, it was the year that Disney bought ABC. So there was a lot of like, okay, so, you know, you're in an ABC show. Well, we got this movie with Whoopi, who I worshipped, I mean, loved. And they're like, yeah, you're going to go in to play your best friend. I never in a million years thought I was going to get it.
That era specifically of Whoopi's career, where she was headlining these huge projects, it must have been so exciting to be able to join one of those.
That was the era of before Judd Apatow did Bridesmaids, and there was kind of a resurgence of, oh yeah, women can be funny. There was a whole decade. I wrote a big paper about it called Where Have All the Funny Women Gone? Because when I was growing up, you had Bette, Goldie, Whoopi. You had a bunch of women starring in projects. They were the draw, and they were the comedy draw.
Right.
And then you went 20 years and there was nothing. They finally did. I remember talking to Annie Potts about this at her house. They finally did First Wives Club. And they
one of the greatest movies of all time.
Greatest of all time. Best written, starring grown, as I like to call us, grown-ass women, having a grown-ass woman experience. And they did it, and it was a monster hit because who knew women like to see themselves represented? And then they never made another one.
And it was just disgusting to me, too, because the three leads have said multiple times they wanted to do another one, but they wouldn't pay them to do another one. And First Wives Club made over $100 million. It made a ton of money.
I mean, You know, when so way back then, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around and it's like, no, wait, I had questions, but you're answering all the ones that I had before I get a chance to ask them. When Elaine Hendricks, who was Meredith in Parent Trap, and I met, we started a friendship the night we met that has not stopped. Best friends. I mean, she's my best friend. I'm her best friend. We're besties. That's it.
We'll love that.
We'll retire and die together somewhere. Because what?
And you met on the Parent Trap. Is that where you met?
First night that we shot the movie on location in Napa. We went to Marie Callender. I had just quit drinking. I ate a pie. She ate a salad. She watched me eat a pie. And we just...
What kind of pie was it, Lisa? I need to know.
Lemon meringue.
Lemon meringue. Okay. Okay.
So we started a friendship. And then while we were there, we shot a picture. I'll send it to you. It's, for us, it's iconic. Of us, we took on these characters that we call trailer trash. Because, you know, there's always trailers on a movie set. And we were so exhausted waiting for, you know, when they were doing the technology, it was very new, of shooting one side for Lindsay and then reversing it and shooting the entire other side so that they could make it look like identical twins. And we would wait all day and we would get bored. So we just put these slips on and start talking like this. I grabbed a cigarette from someone and I was like, bitch, I didn't kill him, but I ain't sorry he's dead. You know, stuff like that. We would just like mess around in these horrifying, you know, she put curlers in. And the set photographer came by and took a picture. And we have it. Each of us has a copy in our house. It's our bestie picture. And we decided to write a movie based on this dumb picture. It inspired this movie. And it was a girl. We called it the Chick Buddy Flick because there were no movies about female friendship. Your young audience is going to think I'm lying. I am not lying. There was not one. And I went, what are we waiting for? We'll write it. So we wrote it. Nobody would buy it. And we were both pretty big names at the time. I mean, we got offers to do all sorts of deals and whatnot. But they didn't buy it because those movies weren't being made.
It's disgusting.
We kept pounding away at it for until, you know, we got too old for the story that we wrote. But finally, they started doing them, and we were seriously grateful.
Yeah. Well, as a gay man, it's like those are the movies that I like the most. I mean, Elaine was in Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, which is one of the classics of something that lives on forever. And that's a movie. I think it was successful financially as well, but it's not only that, but long-term. And that's another movie where I've read Lisa Kudrow has said they have a script. They wanted to do another one and they wouldn't pay them the money to do it. And it's like,
it's just flat out misogyny. It's like literally we get to make, and as stars, it's worse. You get to make, forget 73 cents on the guy's dollar. And if you're a woman of color, even less, it's like 50 cents on the guy's dollar. I always say that if it wasn't for multiple orgasms, being a woman would just be top to bottom. It's like in that way, boom, we got you.
I'm getting off track, Lisa, but I also read that you were married to a gay man and I need to know, were there signs? Were there signs?
So the joke version of this story is I have four children, because my vagina is a clown car, and two ex-husbands. The first one, lovely Jewish man, turned out to be gay. Whoops. Second one, a cheater, which is not technically a religion, but he practiced it like it was. Were there signs? Absolutely not. He's a guy from Massachusetts. He's a guy. And he's not like wearing work boots as a, you know, a sign with a hanky in his back pocket. It's like he's not a village person work boot guy. He dresses like, because he dresses like, I don't know if we're allowed to curse.
Yeah, you can, fuck yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Okay, dress like shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally just bought him for this past Christmas. I'm like, here's your uniform for if we go somewhere to eat for dinner. You cannot wear your crappy Patriot sweatshirt with holes in it and jeans that like don't show anybody's body. Like you have to wear these nice pants and this cashmere sweater. Go, that's your outfit. He's my best friend.
I love that.
Besides Elaine, he's my best friend. We spend every weekend together. He brings his stuff over. He spends the night. We watch 90 Day Fiance, call it a day.
I love that.
I think honestly, no, there were no signs, but when he started to tell me about it, I'm like, I didn't deny his truth. I was just like, I can't. He wanted to stay married. And I'm like, you have to live your, I was the one that was like, no, you've been knowing this about yourself since you were 18 and you haven't like done anything about this. You have to go figure that out, because I'm not trying to make you not who you are so that you don't find your happiness. Like, you've got to go, because I know what I knew that I wanted to since I was 18. Imagine if I hadn't gotten it, how cranky I'd be. Right. I mean, I'm already cranky. Yeah. So we there was not like a really big to-do about it. Although it's really interesting when, you know, because I'm not the only one. It happened to Fran Drescher. Like, famously, I think women with big personalities might attract guys who aren't put off by it. You know what I mean? So that maybe that's part of it. We always had great sex. It wasn't a question of sex. I mean, he's more bi. I don't think that it's like one or the other. I think he prefers a sexual relationship with dudes and a emotional relationship with women, but that has to do with him not completely being
embracing. Yeah.
And he didn't want the kids to know. We had two kids together and he didn't want them to know until our son was older, because he was afraid it would change our son's concept of who he is. And Danny, these kids in these generations, I mean,
it's different.
They have such an acceptance, and the kids were like, and I got to tell you, the only thing that created a problem in our relationship was I felt like people are going to think I came out here, I hit it on some level as an actor, and I like dumped my original, the guy who was with me from the beginning that I had a baby with the year after college, and he was my manager for stand up. No, I did not dump him. I'm loyal. I would have stayed with him till the end. You know, when they say for better or worse, they're not talking about burning the toast. But there is some places I draw the line.
Yeah, you got to draw the line. And I'm glad, it's nice that you seem to have a good relationship and everything. That's amazing. And yeah, I was doing my research and I watched an interview and I just had to hear a little bit about that. Okay, back to your career. Of course, yeah. I want to ask you something about The Parent Trap, but I was like, I got to ask. I mean, I feel like you've been asked every question about The Parent Trap. Like, what could I ask? And I think what I'm most fascinated by is I love Nancy Myers. I think she's so underrated as a director and she's so brilliant. And oftentimes the conversation around her gets reduced to her kitchens, which are amazing.
Her kitchens, her looks entirely, the wardrobe. You know, I get so many. I'm going to let you ask your question. I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah.
But I want to say this about that before I forget. Nancy is so clear on her visuals. That's one part of it. She is very clear about it. So when people, the whole Chessie look has become very iconic in the last
couple of years. Look, I put this on for you.
Thank you.
I put this jean denim on for you.
Yes, I appreciate the homage. People dressing up like Chessie for Halloween. I actually did it. I went to Drag Queen Bingo like 2 years ago before we shut down and here in LA. And I dressed as hot Chessie. I wore like hot pants and like giant platforms and like tied up my jean shirt. It was very
good. I love it.
But it was funny. It's great that people love the look. But at the time, I was like, wow, this is like so Hamptons. Like, it's very white lady. And it's something I wasn't used to. But she was very clear. And all of it became so iconic. And she was hands-on with all of that. It's not just somebody sitting with a newspaper, the corner of the newspaper can't fall. It has to be up. It is everybody's look, what their hair represents, what that says about the character. And that's one piece of it. The genius of her is that there's emotional truth. You can have that look and it can look like a world that you want to keep revisiting when it comes on TV. You stop and you let it play while you're cleaning because you've seen it 8,000 times. So you don't even have to watch. You just listen and you know where it is in the movie. And you feel, I think what people respond to with Parent Trap is they feel comforted. They feel safe. I get so many kids, and incredibly and amazingly, a lot of kids from the queer community that reach out and say, I did not feel accepted and loved. Your character made me feel that. And a lot of kids insisting that Chessie is gay and Martin's gay and their marriage was just a beard marriage. And I fine. Okay. You know, whatever you want to have, as long as you feel accepted and loved and like you're seen and valuable, I'm on board.
They really are. It really is a comfort movie. It's like a warm hug. Are there some movies that you watch when they're on TV that feel like that for you? Like,
oh, 100%.
What are they?
Well, with Nancy's movies, getting back to Nancy, who I absolutely agree with you that she doesn't get recognition for making it says, and again, it's like saying we didn't want to pay these women who did First Wives Club because the writer wanted to do another one. I remember talking to Annie Potts about it. The writer was there. We discussed it. They don't want to acknowledge and value movies if they are embraced by and resonate emotionally with women. It's devalued or undervalued. So it's just like some of the comedies like Bridesmaids, you know, it's not as people don't go apeshit over it like they do 40-Year-Old Virgin or some of the dude comedies. Like we know that they do, but it's not reflected in awards. I think Melissa McCarthy should get every award.
Yeah.
So for like The Heat. I mean, it's brilliant. Her and Sandra Bullock, brilliant. I watch of Nancy's movies. I watch the original Overboard. So no matter when it comes on, at what point in the movie, I'm in. Arturo.
So like, bad.
I'm in.
Yeah.
100%.
And talk about costumes too. Goldie's costumes in that movie. I mean, it's just, yeah.
Giant dress.
So good.
Was I fat? I mean, just hilarious. And then I have like a weird collection of movies. My daughter always watched Jerry Maguire to go to sleep.
Love Jerry Maguire.
Is that like a weird movie to go watch?
I could go to sleep to it. I love Jerry Maguire. And it also includes one of my favorite actresses of all time, Bonnie Hunt, in that movie.
You want to hear a little secret?
This will be something
nobody's heard in an interview.
Yeah.
I was pinned for that role for over a month.
Wait, okay. So for the Bonnie Hunt role in Jerry Maguire.
I was pinned for that. I met with Cameron Crowe. I did the whole thing where they wanted me to improv, like meeting Tom for the first time. And, you know, at that time in my career, it was very young in my career. It was like during my first sitcom. I had no fear. I smoked in the audition. Like people smoked inside back then, people. I wasn't like insane. And he loved it. And I totally like mirrored like a Tom Cruise thing. Like when he came in, like I was making fun of him. And it's funny because years later, I had to audition for Steven Spielberg. I'm like dropping names like this.
I love it. I live for it. Please.
I had to audition for a Spielberg movie starring Tom Cruise, War of the Worlds, which I wound up doing, improvising the entire scene because they didn't have a script yet. It was for War of the Worlds. They wrote it and did pre-production in 3 months. A movie that you think about that movie, they rebuilt Elizabeth, New Jersey and made this town. It was insane. So they didn't have a script and they were like, you're a bartender, you're flirting with Tom. So I'm like pouring beer and like, geez, I got to go on a diet. Look at that. My God. And then like leaning over and having cleavage. And we had a whole scene in a bar where it's clear that we go home and.
You and Tom in War of the Worlds. Yeah.
And then I meet him again later at the bridge. And I'm like,
so when you were auditioning with Jerry Maguire, did you ever audition with him? Did you? Chemistry or any of that?
Never with Tom. And when I did the Spielberg, it was just on tape. So when we went to go shoot it, he was like, you know that thing you did in the audition? I want you to do those lines when we come back. And he could see the panic in my face because I'm already on set for the first time with Steven Spielberg, Tom Cruise, at that time, arguably the two biggest, the director and movie star in the world. And all I could think was he was talking to me and all I could hear was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, Tom Cruise, oh my God, oh my God, Steven Spielberg. My brain was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Sure.
So he goes, don't worry, I'll print it at lunch when we come back. You can do it. But I didn't get to meet them ahead of time. Never got to meet Tom with Cameron Crowe. But Cameron loved me, which is why they pinned me for the sister role. And then they cast Renee and they said, I think they thought it felt too East Coast. But what's hilarious is that I look more like Renee Zellweger. I mean, people have said that my whole career, that I look like her. We both have full lips, little squinty eyes. But Bonnie's magnificent in the role. Not that she should. She was perfect.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. She's perfect. Like I can't imagine anybody else, but I just think it's funny. Well,
and I'm trying to remember because Bonnie has been on this show before and I don't want to misquote, but I thought she had said she initially at one point had tested with maybe Tom Hanks as the Renee character. I think even earlier. And then
As the Jerry character, you mean Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, I think Tom Hanks was maybe supposed to be the Jerry Maguire character. Maybe I'm misquoting.
When I went in and met with Cameron, he was like, it's Tom.
Tom was already in there.
Yeah. It's Tom. You open the door and Tom, and I'm like, he's okay. Doing the smile. He's going.
But wait, I also think that was the hottest Tom has ever looked. Tom Cruise was in Jerry Maguire to me. I think he just was like so handsome. But I want to know, okay, so you have this role in War of the Worlds.
I've been with a couple of hot guys, by the way.
I know. Well, you've been with all these huge stars, and I have a question related to that. But before that, I need to know, War of the Worlds comes out, and that's like an infamous press tour that Tom Cruise did for War of the Worlds. Like, that was the Oprah couch jumping. That was the Matt Lauer fight. Yeah. And what was your kind of, were you watching all of that? Obviously, you have a small role in the film, but were you like, what the fuck is he doing? Or like, what were you thinking?
I'm going to tell you a couple of things about Mr. Tom Cruise, if you will indulge me.
Please.
First of all, there's a reason why that guy has been maintained being a top, like top tier, top 15, top 10, top one movie star for decades. And it's because he is universally loved on every set. This is a guy, I'm going to reduce the story real quick. If you want to read the long version, go buy my book. It's called "It's The Best Thing About My Ass Is That It's Behind Me." You can read the whole 4-page story. But when I got home from shooting the first scene in the bar, they had already looked at dailies and had decided that him stopping to bone this trashy barmaid, and that's why he's late to meet his kids at the very beginning of the movie when the car is like swerving down the street, like, oh my God, I'm late. It's because he was with me, banging me. And it made him look like a bad father in the first 5 minutes of the movie. And they already knew they probably weren't going to use it, but they loved me because I was funny and I made him laugh. And I was honest. Like at one point when we were shooting, I went like, oh my God, I went up because it's Steven Spielberg going, Lisa, okay, you're going to stand here. You're going to do this. You're going to go for that line. You're going to change the channel. You're going to come back. And on this line, he's going to say this to you. You're going to turn around. You're going to get him a beer. When you turn back, he's going to finish the season. Go. And I'm like, look at Steven Spielberg. And so I totally froze and I did it at the wrong point. And I went, I think I did it at the wrong time. And Tom goes, come here. See that guy in the hat in Video Village? That's Steven Spielberg. He's the one who says cut. Like, it's he. And I could, I could feel the red coming from my feet all the way up my body until it got to here. And he was like, I'm just taking the piss out of you. And I went, I'm on set with Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise. There's no piss. You don't have to take anything out. There's no piss here. Pissless. There's nothing happening. So he was like, oh my God, you're so cute. Spielberg's pinching my cheek. They called to have me do this scene at the boat. And they said, bring one of your kids. Because we were talking about our kids. Tom's talking about his. I'm talking about mine. And it was my daughter was just getting ready to turn 13. And or it was her 13th birthday that week. And because my ex-husband's Jewish, my oldest two are raised Jewish. She was having her bat mitzvah, which I know nothing about, except there's a video at the beginning. And the video better feature Tom Cruise opening it because it'll be the best bat mitzvah video. So I had a camera in my purse, on my set purse. And we're in freezing cold weather. He's like, oh my God, yes, I'll shoot whatever you want. He's shooting it. We are surrounded by 2,000 or 3,000 extras. There are people panicking on set. People are having hyperventilation because they're getting crushed. He stops everything, won't go back to one. He goes to some girl who's an extra and he's like, where are you going to school? Oh, you're doing this when you're home for vacation? Yeah, tell me about it. Talks her off the ledge, calms her down. She's fine. Now Tom is going back to one. We get rushed. He goes over to the other side of the boat. We get crushed by the people around us. My daughter and I were still running and we get stopped by Daniel Francese with a gun in my hip. Because I said,
wait,
stop.
That's Daniel Francese in there?
That's Daniel Francese.
No way.
For those of you at home, she doesn't even go here.
Yeah, he's Damien from Mean Girls.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I said, you better stop me because this is my actual daughter and I will get past you to get on that boat. I'm giving it. Spielberg's directing me. I'm going, right? So he goes, all right. He gun butts me. I have a bruise like this. My daughter, they're like beautiful, perfect. I'm screaming, take Nora. I named her Nora because my best friend from college is Nora. And Spielberg's best friend was Nora Ephron. So take her, holding her up. Perfect cut. He's screaming from the Hudson River. Perfect take. And then I hear flag. And it's like, the girl, Janusz Kaminski is his DP. The girl, the little girl. I look down, my daughter's got blood running down her face like this. I look up, Tom Cruise rappels down the side of the boat, jumps next to me and is like, whoa, what happened? Oh my God, we got to get this on tape. You can sue them. You can get $1 million. Here, give me your video, Lisa. Yeah, look, I broke my nose when I was wrestling. It's not
like
bad.
Just easing her pain. Yeah.
I'm like, Tom Cruise is the nicest guy in the world. Nobody can convince me otherwise. He knew everything about all four of my kids. He had just seen a screener of Shall We Dance, which wasn't out yet. He loved my character. And when we got to the red carpet for War of the Worlds, he goes, Lisa, look what I've been doing. Because I said, yeah, you got to learn ballroom because the man gets to be the boss. He grabs Katie Holmes and he's like, look what I can do. Twirls her, dips her. And he's like, I've been taking lessons. He's a little nutty. I loved him.
Yeah.
I loved him.
We got to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Lisa Ann Walter. Also find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to pre-order my book, you can get it now. It's called How Do I Unremember This, out March 8th. Pre-order from your local bookstore or from the link in the episode description. It's available at all major retailers. I want to thank Acast. We'll be right back with more. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. War of the Worlds, I just rewatched it. And you mentioned Dino Francese, but also there's a rumor that Channing Tatum was like an extra in it as well. There, I think his scene got cut or something. It's online. You can see like a screen grab of it.
Do you know that I did a movie, it won't be in anything that anybody's ever seen, called Get Your Stuff, which anybody who knows My Favorite Martian, the TV show, it's probably on MeTV. It's Ray Walston, who was a Broadway star back in the day, kiddies. But he was an actor in big movies, and it was his last movie. He was really old. He was so old he couldn't eat the cheap lunch because it was a real kind of low-budget movie, that he couldn't eat the food they were making for him. I would bring him like baked Zevia meatballs from home so he would eat. But it was his last movie, and you know whose first movie it was? John Hamm. Played a cop. Who stood next to me, but I didn't know he was John Hamm at the time.
Yeah. Well, I could hear a million stories about War of the Worlds, but I know, but you also were in Bruce Almighty with Jennifer Aniston and Jim Carrey. You've done these really huge movies, Shall We Dance, with J-Lo and Richard Gere. And I'm wondering, what have you learned? You've worked alongside some of the biggest stars ever. Like, we're not even just talking A-list. We're talking Jim Carrey at the height of his powers. We're talking Whoopi Goldberg at the height of her power. Like, what did you learn about that sort of level of fame? Does that make any sense? Like, did you?
Yes. No, it makes a lot of sense, because it was not lost on me at the time, because I was a fan. I knew I was a fan of these people. I would go pay money. I bought tickets to see their movies. I would sit and like fangirl over Richard Gere. When I first met him and got into ballroom hold, which is anybody who's ever danced ballroom, you are connected boob to crotch, slammed up, crushed against who was arguably one of the hottest actors working.
I've wanted to be boob to crotch to Richard Gere a time or two in my life. For sure.
I was like, and he was like, you don't have to shake. I was shaking. He was like, you already got the job, honey. Just relax. And I went, I am boob to crotch on an officer and a gigolo right now. and they are making me gain weight. I'm feeling extremely uncomfortable with my
body. Made you gain weight?
Yeah, they made me gain weight for Shall We Dance. They wanted me to be heavy. Impossible. It was what made me come up with the idea for the TV show Dance Your Ass Off. That's why I created that show, because I ate 10,000 calories a day, and because I was dancing, having dance practice all day with like Tony Dobolani and Karina Smirnoff, all these Dancing with the Stars actors or dancers, I couldn't put on weight. It was impossible. But here's what I learned watching them. The ones who had longevity were not just professional and showed up and did their job. They were kind. These were kind. They were nice people. I had heard stuff about Jennifer Lopez before I went on that set, and I never saw a second of any of that garbage people talked about. People like to talk. And I saw her be nice. She waited around on, we shot on my birthday, and she got released at like 9 p.m. She waited around till midnight so that she could be there when they wheeled a cake onto the set and sing happy birthday to me. Included the dancers when people go out to dinner. A lot of times people forget the dancers because they're not valued in our industry. It's like you're a slab of meat. But anybody who's a dancer knows it is the discipline that you have to work the hardest at to maintain. And she valued them and included them. And I just think from all of them, from Richard Gere, who looked out for everybody that was lower than him on the call sheet, everybody that was around him, he would not tolerate people being mean to anybody. And it's just the people that are usually obnoxious are the people that are insecure with their position. Mm. So sometimes you'll see young actors, like I've said about, you know, it was Dakota Fanning's first movie was War of the Worlds. I worked with Lindsay on her breakout. I worked with, who's the other one? There's another one. Kiki Palmer, I was developing some stuff with it when she first moved out here. And I always say everybody gets the opportunity to be a jerk for 2 years. If you're young and you make it in this business, you can be an asshole for 2 years and then you got to calm down. But, you know, I think the people that are comfortable and that feel secure, they're never mean. Yeah. Because who you meet on the way up is who you're going to meet on the way down.
This is a superficial question, but who was the most attractive person out of all of those people, like male or female? Like, who would you
say truly? Jennifer Lopez glows for real. You look at her on a set from across the room, and I'm like this next to Richard Jenkins, or I'm like, is she like lit?
Shining a light?
Or like, is she like Jesus? She's like glowing with from behind. It just a light pops off of her. It's like what people used to say about Marilyn Monroe, that she reflected light. And so it looked when she like she was lit from within. That's Jennifer. And she smells unbelievable. The first day we worked together in rehearsal, I walked by her and I was like, oh my God, is that you? And she was like, yeah.
Was that during the first Ben that, era?
It was the first Ben era. And I was like, I want to lick you, hey. And I don't even say that to girls that often. But she was like, I said, what are you wearing? She goes, me. And I'm like, all right. God. And she goes, no, it's my cologne. And then the next day in my trailer, the entire set of Still or Glow.
Glow, yeah.
The entire set of everything that was under that brand. First Ben era. He was on set on the day. If nobody's seen that movie, I urge you to watch it. It's a wonderful movie.
Shall We Dance?
Shall We Dance?
It's a wonderful movie. People have seen it. Yeah.
And I the big ballroom competition scene, my character who keeps joking about her ass, part of the reason I got the job, I knew how to ballroom dance because I trained growing up. Not as a professional. I taught at Arthur Murray because I did disco dancing in D.C. Like, don't get it twisted. But I turned around and I was like, okay, I can do this, I can do that, and look at my ass. It's J-Lo size. We got, you know, we got Cillian Cooley here. And I think that's part of the reason I got the job anyway.
I love it.
But there was a big thing about the character's ass. And then in that big competition scene, she loses her skirt. He steps on it, Richard Gere steps on it, and she loses her skirt. So on that day, I look over the first time I did it. It was beautifully acted, I might add, because I was horrified. I'm in front of, you know, 3,000 extras or something. We're in seats. And Ben Affleck is standing on the side. And then they said something about somebody else was going to stop by later. And Richard Gere is there. Hello, it's in front of Richard Gere. I got
like,
Richard.
How wild.
Like, oh, I know what it was. Russell Crowe was in town shooting something else. We were in Canada. And I went, why don't you just get Russell down here to see my fat ass? Like, I'm going to put it on display in front of everybody. Like, get him in here. And Richard said to me, because I was horrified. And, oh, Extra was shooting. Extra was there.
Of course.
Yeah. And I'm like red. And he goes, what's up? And I went, Extra's here. And he goes, give me 1 minute. Goes away. Comes back. Goes, they're leaving. They won't be back. I'm like, I'd kill for you. I'm just going to kill for you. And, but it was embarrassing. It was in front of Ben.
Richard Gere, I just read this book about rom-coms and it made me sort of go back and watch a lot of the classics. I, of course, rewatch Pretty Woman, which he's just he's stunning in it. I mean, and you mentioned, I think, American Gigolo. He's like, I mean, the way he looks, it's like blindingly handsome.
I had those 8x10s from that movie because back in the day you could like, it's not like you're on Hollywood Boulevard. You had to go someplace really special to get pictures of Richard Gere. They were glossies. And I have the one with the shirt open from American Gigolo. His chest was smooth. Oh. And it was like carved out of
so hot
granite. I had those on my bedroom wall when I was in high school and college. Like, I was all in on Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got to touch him.
Okay, wait. So you mentioned Jerry Maguire. Had there been any other roles that you were like close to getting or something that you wanted really bad that you know, I had auditioned for? Like, I'm sure there's a handful of.
Yeah. You know what? I'm trying to think movie wise if there is. And here's the thing. So a lot of times you don't know because in those years, which were kind of I was playing a little bit older, but it was late 30s, I want to say. Late 30s, right into the beginning of my 40s. I was getting roles that they weren't offers necessarily. I mean, a lot of times I would go in and audition, but they might have had me in mind. And then they don't write as many roles for women as they get much older than that. So maybe there were somewhere they went, yeah, but we want someone. I remember when Katherine Hahn started working in movies. And so a bunch of
you guys look so much alike too.
It's, you know, what's funny. Yeah. I saw her at this political event in town and she was like, I was like, hey, and she was like, oh my God. And we took pictures and she goes, you know, my son insists that it's me in The Parent Trap. Like he will not hear that it's not me. And I'm like, yeah, no, it does put sure. Let's phone him. But, as she started to get work, friends would text me and say, somebody's getting your jobs now. You know, and it's Katherine Hahn. And I went, no, they're her jobs now. They were my jobs. Now they're her jobs. And she's fantastic. So God bless. But the other way it worked once, which was something sort of towards the end of all these big movies that I was doing, I booked a job at the movie Killers with Ashton Kutcher and Katie Heigl, Katherine Heigl. And I had auditioned for the part of a like nosy neighbor. And they said, okay, so you got the job, you're playing Olivia, blah, blah, blah. And I went, did they change her name? Because I don't think that was the name. And okay, I guess they changed her name. I go to location in Atlanta and they show me the wardrobe and it's all heels, like stacked platforms, mini skirts, bustiers. And I went, holy shit, I'm playing the Cougar Assassin. I'm playing a different role than what I auditioned for. I never auditioned for it. They just gave me that other role. And it was awesome because I got to do a lot of crazy. I'd never gotten a job where I got to like stunt drive a car and shoot a Glock. And it was great.
That's amazing. And what was,
you don't know because they don't tell you.
Yeah. And what was Katherine Heigl like? Because of course, infamously, I very strongly defend Katherine Heigl because I always felt like the punishment never fit the crime with her. I mean, and if you go back and listen to some of the things that she had said that people really dragged her for, she had said Knocked Up was a little bit sexist, which it is a little bit.
I refuse to believe it. I'm like, in what universe is a Seth Rogen like, oh, I gotta marry this broad? Are you kidding?
Right. It was, and there was a few instances, and yeah, some of the things maybe
I just thought it was rude that they made it. The big joke was, look how a woman's vagina looks when she's having a baby. I'm like, really? That tired
which, by the way, I just read in this book that I was mentioning. I can't even remember the name of it, so now I feel bad that I keep mentioning it. But in the book, apparently Anne Hathaway was supposed to play that role in Knocked Up, and she didn't want to show, she didn't want to do that scene. And so they had to go with someone else sort of at the last minute, and that's how Katherine Heigl got the role. But so she was, so you liked her. You liked working with her.
I loved her. Yeah. I loved her. I got along famously. Well, first of all, I walked into a trailer and Catherine O'Hara was sitting there, which is,
I mean, come on.
Creek people. This is before you all discovered her out in the world. This girl was a fan of SCTV as a teenager. I loved it more than SNL. I was a SCTV girl. So her and Eugene Levy together, I'm old school on that. So I went in, I don't know if you remember SCTV, but she played like a character called Lola Heatherton. It was based on Lola Falana and Joey Heatherton. And she, we had this line, I want to have all your babies. I mean, it was the most amazing, crazy character. And I loved her. And I went into the makeup trailer and there she was sitting. And I was like this to her person. Can I talk to her? I want to talk to her. Can I say hi? And she's already looking in the mirror like, who's this crazy bitch? And I was like, I'm such a huge fan. I'm so sorry to bother you, but I just want to let you know I'm such a huge fan. I embarrassed myself.
But she's, really, come on, she's the best. Like, she's the best.
She's the best. She's Canadian. I needed to dial it way back. But Catherine, wonderful. And I know what you're talking about because she has a tendency, because she was raised by a feminist, and she's very, very smart. And she does what I'm guilty of, which is she says what she thinks.
Catherine Heigl, yeah.
A lot of times, women in this business don't do. So like on that movie, she would say stuff like, oh my God, this is taking forever. Please God, remind me never to do another action movie. This is like so boring. And she wasn't saying it to be a bitch or to be like cranky. She was literally just like, I want to do something. So instead of like being insulted by it, I would just jump in front of her and be like, Miss Heigl needs to be entertained. And I would like do a time step and just joke around with her. Yeah. You know, have a good time. And
there was also something really troubling about how many times she was asked to apologize for some of her comments. It was like interview after interview, she had to do press tours apologizing for the same comment about Knocked Up or the situation with Grey's Anatomy.
Shame. Yeah,
it was just crazy.
Shame.
Lisa, I've kept you for way too long and I got to get to Abbott Elementary and I could again talk to you forever, but this must be, what is this like now? Because Abbott Elementary is so fucking good. It's so brilliant, so funny. You're all hilarious. I'm trying to get the whole cast on this show because I just think every Quinta, Janelle James to me is the funniest human ever.
She's
and
everything.
You're all so good. And the chemistry, not a weak link in the bunch, but what's it like now? Can you tell how people are loving it? You're only in the first season, but there's still such a fever pitch to it.
Well, I have to say, first and foremost, Quinta Brunson is a miracle of a person.
She created it and she's the lead of it.
She created it. She is, you know, owns that voice based on her mother's experiences in Philly. And when I read the script, first of all, I laughed and cried. And I don't laugh at comedy scripts, in particular network comedy scripts, but she so nailed that voice. And, you know, we were DC area, but my mother was a teacher in DC public schools and we're Sicilian. So I'm like, oh my God, it's like somebody wrote a part for me. And so I had such a good time with it. But when we were shooting the pilot, we all felt it. There was such a chemistry, such an energy that we didn't want to talk about it because we didn't want to like jinx it. But we were like, is anybody like we weren't even worried about whether or not I was going to get picked up, Danny. Like usually you do a show and you're like, well, we don't know. We think it's good, but who knows what the network's going to want. We were like, if they don't want it, somebody else will, because it's a good show. And the time was right. The fact that we're honoring teachers at a time when they have been so roughed up, and just in terms of the how we're doing at home, schooling, and then kids coming back, and them being frontline workers and not being respected, and what's going on politically with them, and everything, for us to just embrace them and say, we see you as full human beings. You're not miracle workers. You're not, you know, Stand By Me. Not everything is a story of inspiration, but it is. It's like little daily doses of inspiration. And we all have that teacher that we remember that made a difference in our lives. Or maybe it's more than one if you're lucky. And that's who these people are, little daily inspirations to these kids. And she, and Quinta is also, again, with kindness, one of the kindest people I've ever met. Cares about everybody. Does the wardrobe like Nancy. Does everything. You turn around and she's got her executive producer fingers in everything. And having done her job, being like in charge of a sitcom and co-creating it, I'm in awe of her. I didn't do nearly as good a job as she did.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the heart of it. And that's what I find so compelling, because your characters get to be so funny. And I mean, some of your characters' lines are hysterically funny, but then you also get these moments. Like there was an episode a couple weeks ago where you buy all these books for your classroom and you're explaining how this Peter, I think it was Peter Rabbit, right? It was Peter Rabbit. And you get to have this really heartfelt emotional moment too. And I think it's rare in sitcoms, particularly network sitcoms. And it's the first time in years, I think, since maybe A Modern Family or The Office or something, where I look forward to it so much every week. And it feels like such a release watching it. And it's the only time I have those out loud laughs watching a show, but then can also feel something.
I watched the episode last night, and there are beats that I don't see because I'm not in the scene when they shoot it, or I don't see the camera angle that they're whipping to. And I am surprised, and I laugh out loud, which makes me know that, you know, of course I read the comments online too. People are responding in that way, and that's wonderful. But what you said is the important part. There's laugh out loud moments with, you know, Janelle James doing just the most she has such joy.
So funny.
This ridiculous, outrageous character. And I said that to her week one. There's joy in what you're doing. She doesn't care that she's self-involved. It's beautiful. But the moment that you were talking about with the play where Melissa, who's a hard ass, she's the South Philly, like, you guys aren't going to, you know, what's with the cameras? Like, that's her. But in this beat, she's saying, this is the first thing that I did that my kids liked. And I knew, I mean, that's why Quinta put it in there. Because in order for you to care whether or not this woman is having her project trashed by this newcomer, you have to see that it's because her emotion is connected to how her children, her babies, responded to it the very first year that she was a teacher. And that's why it's important. So I'm doing it. I know why it's important and how to play.
It was so good. It was so good. How many episodes are we getting?
What?
How many episodes are we getting this season? Do you know?
So when we got picked up, we knew that we were going to come in later, which I'm happy about, because you don't want to cut through all the noise at the beginning of the year. And everybody was home for break. So we did 13. She would not even discuss about extending and doing more. She was like, no, she wants her writers to really write them well, which they have.
I like that.
So we didn't even talk about extending this season, and we feel pretty confident.
Oh, for sure. It's being picked up. They haven't announced it yet, but it for sure. I feel like it's just so in the zeitgeist right now. Everyone I know that is in the comedy community or the entertainment, like, people are just obsessed with that. And myself included, I just cannot recommend it enough. It's the most brilliant thing on television right now. And the joy that we kind of all, I think, need, and laugh out loud. Really,
we know how blessed we are. We know how intangible, whether or not something is a hit, and it's not that other things aren't good or whatever. It's just for whatever reason, the time was right. And our chemistry as a cast really works. And that's also Quinta. She picked people specifically, and she knew who she wanted.
Did you know any of the cast beforehand? Like, I know Janelle James had worked with Sherry Shepherd, who I know you're also very close with. So did you know any?
I did not know Janelle because she was out of stand-up, but I had not been doing stand-up through the entire break. And in fact, I'm just now ramping up again, doing it like 2-3 times a week. And she's also out of New York. So I didn't know Janelle. I knew Quinta from her stuff online and from Black Lady Sketch Show, which I loved.
So good.
But I didn't know her personally. And Cheryl Lee, I had met at a couple of like charity events But we weren't friends. Now we
and
are.
And Cheryl Lee Ralph. Cheryl Lee Ralph, Lisa, is also, I mean, we didn't even mention her, but she's just an icon. Like, she's so, she's always so good in everything she does.
She's an original dream girl. What more do you want from that? You know what's interesting? Because I just, and then I know we have to go, but I have to sing the praises of everyone. Tyler, James Williams, who is Everybody Hates Chris.
So handsome now, too. Like,
in love with him. He's such a good actor. Can I just tell you, he did so. I consider myself pretty layered with what I do. I watch him and I go, who are you studying with? Like, I want to go take lessons from whoever you're studying with. He's so good. He doesn't force a moment. Everything is true. He's wonderful. And Chris Perfetti, who comes out of, we have a mutual friend, John Benjamin Hickey. He was my best friend in my original Fox show. And then Rupert Murdoch was like, I don't want her to have a gay best friend. I don't think America's ready. Can he be black? This is a true story. Meanwhile, that the next year, Will and Grace. So, but anyway, I knew John Benjamin Hickey was friends with Chris. And Chris is a wonderful actor out from stage in New York. And people weren't really, it's not that they weren't responding to his character, but they were making it like he was the goofy white guy. And then the episode airs this week and they're like, oh no, I get it. And he is like, she needs to listen to what he has to say. Jacob's on it. Like, I like him now. Was he gay? I didn't know he was gay. How come I didn't know he was gay? And it was like, because she just wrote a character. She didn't write a gay character.
And I loved, I love that this was revealed this week because I just thought it was so smart to bring that in, to make it not the center of that, who that character was. And it also made us, it felt like, oh yeah, yeah, of course. But also we got to see new sides of him. And it's just,
everybody has their little moments in different episodes. Like, there might be one episode where I'm not very heavy. And then there's two in a row where I'm in the story or the B story. And everybody has moments where you find out a little bit more about their character. And people are responding to it.
It must just be so exciting and so fun to do that show because it looks like you're all having a blast. And it also, I think it's going to be a show, as long as all of you want to still do it, it's going to be one of those shows that's going to be a long run because it's brilliant. Would you want to do it for a while? Like,
you know what? I'm not supposed to say yes because you're supposed to negotiate for more money, but I would not mind spending a while with these people.
And what would you want to happen with Melissa? Is there anything on like the bucket list or something that for your character, you'd like her to do X, Y, or Z?
I just think that she's got to find love at some point and be afraid of it and still go for it anyway and get her heart broken and be mad and want to do a drive-by with Cheryl and then fall in love again. I mean, I think love is a very important thing, and maybe I'm hoping for that in real life too. So I'm kind of hoping for the character.
I love that. Lisa, this was such a delight to get to talk to you. I think so many of your characters and just getting to talk to you have your warm spirit. And I think it's just it's not an acting thing. It's just your spirit shining through in a lot of these characters. And so I thank you for bringing them to life. And I'm so excited to watch you more on Abbott Elementary. And thank you for taking the time. And I do ask every single guest this cheesy question, your favorite Mariah Carey song. I ask all of my guests. I didn't want to forget.
You know what? I'm sitting here going, beautiful, but that's Christina Aguilera.
No, she's got a song called Beautiful with Miguel. We could say that.
Okay, well, let's say that then.
Yeah, we'll say that. Anything else you want to plug or tell people where they can find you, see you on your stand-up?
Just on social media and talk to me. A lot of times I answer back, Lisa Ann Walter. No E on Ann, Walter, no S. And stand-up is Laugh Factory and wherever they're going to book me, which I have no idea.
I'm going to come see you. I need to come see you live.
Now, you're my guest. You're on the list.
Thank you so much, Lisa. What a delight. I appreciate it.
You are a delight. Bye, Ann.